Thank you very much. Thanks for the invitation to speak. And I came here for the last 4 days and heard a lot of wonderful talks. And I feel that I should have get into mass transportation theory earlier and all these nice stuff. Okay. And one very interesting thing I heard, you know, is this multi-marginal mass transportation. Okay, because I've been working on Brownian motion on manifold. Okay, so problems like to talk about coupling instead of mass transportation. Okay, and of course, on coupling, you don't really care much about whether there's a smooth map or not. You know, for us, that you know, you want to categorize somehow the best coupling you can get, and this is how I got into this. And as you can see, that the mass transportation part of my talk is pretty primitive, okay? But I basically have a few problems, and it come up. Naturally, I have a finite dimensional mass transportation problem with a very weird form of cost function, and I have no idea how to deal with this. So since here we have a lot, many experts for mass transportation, maybe that this problem can be solved within the current framework of the theory. Okay, I'm mainly going to talk about Brownian motion. Okay, the only solid result I have is Brownian motion on our end. Okay, and I probably should apologize for people. You know, some people may have already heard about this, and this has been around for a long time. And there are subsequent papers written about this. They'll be quoted in books, but the paper itself hasn't really published. You know, mainly because, you know, it's been rejected once, and I also feel on our end, you know, I just want to do something more than our end. And so far, I don't know how to do it. But here is the problem. Okay, there's a long history about why do you want to do coupling, okay? Coupling for Brownian motion is related to the lower bound of the spectrum, okay? So if you want to get a sharp bound for the spectrum, okay, sharp bound for the lower bound of the spectrum, one probabilistic way of doing it, okay, is to try to couple two Brownian motions, Rn, manifold, okay, to let them meet as soon as possible, okay? Now, coupling is a little bit different from them meeting. Coupling means not only they meet, after they meet, they have to be the same, okay? So it's a stronger form of coupling. So here is how you're going to do it, okay? You can actually pick this as a one-dimensional problem. Okay, so you have a point x1, x2, two points. Okay, well, I probably shouldn't draw this line first. Okay, so I have a Brownian motion. Start from x1 and start from x2. Okay, the only requirement I have is that these have to be separately Brownian motions. Okay, I don't care how you couple them. Okay, now what I want is that to ask them to meet as soon as possible. I shouldn't say meet again, you know, to couple as soon as possible. So I have two proceeds, maybe two Brownian motions, okay? One is called x1, okay? Another is called x2. So I define the coupling time, okay? Coupling time is t x1 x2, okay? It's the inf, okay, of all time s, you know, greater than zero, such that they have to agree after that, okay? So that x1 t is equal to x2 t, okay, for all t greater than s. It's not that they just meet, they have to be completely the same, okay? And why don't you just talk about a meet, you know, why don't you couple? Oh, that's because in application for getting the lower bounds of the I spectrum, you need them to be the same afterwards. Okay, so this is a coupling time. Okay, now the question, a very simple question now is that can you make the coupling time as small as you want? Okay, answer is no, because you want them to be Brownian motion. No matter how you couple, there is a lower bound. Okay, why is that? Well, this is just a simple fact. Okay, so let's point out a very simple fact. Okay, nothing is fancy here. simple fact here, assume I don't have a parentheses here. I have a two random variables. Okay? I have two random variables, x1, x2. No, not, now I can just write x1, x2. Okay, random variables. Okay. Let's see on R, right? And you want to create a probability space to support these two random variables. You want them to coincide as much as possible. Similar to that, right? So what is the lower bound of the probability? What is the lower bound? Okay. Oh, okay. You see, then that's how should I do this? I lift this up first. Okay. What is lower bound of a probability p of x1? P of x1 not equal to x2, right? And given the distribution of x1 and x2, okay. Separately, though, okay. Assuming you know the margin. Okay. The answer is that the probability of x1 not equal to x2, right, has to be greater than 1 over 2, the total variation. And this is total variation of x1 mu x2. There is a lower bound there. You can't really make them smaller than that. Okay, so, if there is density, then you would have something like that. Okay, something like density of x1, x minus p, x2, x. Dx, if there is a density. Okay? So, now, why is that related to this? Okay, that means that if I want, okay, so one fact here, okay, is that no matter what you do with these two parentheses here, there's a lower bound for the time. Okay, how you can measure lower bound? That's a random variable, right? So you look at the lower bound of the probability, okay, of x, t of x1, x2. I should say x1, x2. Okay, greater than t. Okay, so you cannot make this probability arbitrarily small. Okay, this is very easy to show. The idea is completely the same as that one. Okay, and the fact is that this has to be greater than this 1/2. Okay, integral of heat kernel t of xv minus the heat kernel t of yz. Okay, and dv. On R. Okay. And the proof is not that hard. Okay, this is the probably only proof I'm going to put in here. And also, I want to emphasize the fact that you're talking about coupling, not just talking about they meet, right? So here's this probability of t of x1, x2 greater than t. Okay, must be greater than the probability of xt1 not equal to xt2. Because at time t, if they're not the same, the coupling time got to be after that. You see, the thing here is that they may have met before. They have met before, okay? But, they're not the same at time t, if the coupling time must be before t. Okay, so this is, and then you just apply that, okay? So that's just 1/2, right? Blah, blah, blah. T same. Okay, so I should say this is precisely equal to that. So this is a very simple-minded bound here, okay? And for each fixed time T, I have a lower bound of how soon they can cover. Okay. Now the question, of course, is can you actually achieve that? Is this a genuine lower bound? Okay?
It could be the
That's right. I mean, you know, this could be strict here, you're talking about. Right? Oh, yeah, I mean, there are some technical things. I mean, this is a continuous function of t. Yeah. Okay, now, so the question is, can you actually achieve that bound? This seems too easy. You seem to have lost a lot of things, okay? The answer turned out to be yes, you can actually achieve that bound, okay? By achieving means you achieve for every t you have to achieve. Okay, question is that can you, okay, is there, okay, a coupling, okay, for which, okay, the lower bound here, the lower bound, okay, is achieved? For every t. Yeah, you see, this is like, I'm talking about achieving a very strong sense. For every t, I want to achieve, okay? Left achieved, okay, here for every key, okay. Now the answer is yes, okay, and the coupling is a well-known coupling, probably the first coupling people are talking about now, coupling, right? Okay, the idea of killing, you know, to make the meat as soon as possible is to create as much noise as possible. If you have more noise, you know, like fluctuating a lot, then on average they will meet early, okay? If you don't have a lot of noise, they're going to hang around for too long, they're not going to meet, okay? So that's the intuition there. How much noise you can produce if you want both to be brown in motion, okay? Well, you let one Brownian motion subtract the negative of the negative Brownian motion, twice Brownian motion would be the most noise you can produce from two marginals or Brownian motion. Okay, this is, you know, good thing about this, you can talk, you know. Intuitively, that's it, okay? This is called the mirror coupling. Mirror coupling is the one that actually achieved the lower bound. Okay, so here's the mirror coupling. This has been around for a long time, okay? Mirror coupling is how are you going to do it, right? You're going to have x1 here, x2, okay? You take the points x1, x2, divide by 2, you want them to meet here, okay? One Brownian motion has no choice. Just run your Brownian motion, okay? Run your Brownian motion. I actually want slightly better because I want to use this. Okay, the second Brownian motion start from here, but merely reflect this. Okay, merely reflect this. Then you're gonna have something like, you know, you get, I don't know, right? Two bumps, and then you got it. Okay, so this is your tile here. Okay, tile will be the first time you meet. First time you actually meet this line, right? Okay, so you have a mirror coupling. I'm gonna have one T. Okay. And minus 2t. Okay, since it's a mirror coupling, you produce twice as much noise. Okay, so this is going to be, you know, x1 minus x2 plus twice the Brownian motion in t. Mirror coupling. Okay. You can prove by Kunida Watanabe inequality, blah, blah, blah. If you want both to be Brownian motion, marginally both Brownian motion, this is the largest amount of noise you can produce here. Okay, now, so to reach that point the first time, okay, so tau is the first passage time, okay, of Brownian motion bt, t greater than 0, okay, to the level. Because then all you need is to reach that level, right? But how far it is it from here to here? Level is x1, x2 minus x1 divided by 2. That's the, okay? So that means that tau is really in Feynman of t of usual Brownian motion, okay? Starting from 0, reach the level x2 minus x1 divided by 2, or fx1 minus x2. Okay? So this has been known for a long time that this is the best possible. This whole theory here can be put in a much abstract form, okay? But my question is, okay, is this the only one or not? Maybe there are other ways of coupled Brownian motion, okay? You still achieve the lower bound here, okay? Now, so question here is a more refined question, all right? Okay? Okay? Are there other couplings, okay? Is the mirror coupling, okay? Is the mirror coupling, okay, the unique optimal coupling? Now, the first time I look at this problem, I said this is a mass transportation problem. Okay? You want to transfer the mass, infinite dimensional mass transportation problem. You want to transfer Brownian motion from here to a Brownian from here, okay? But what's the cost function? Okay, I can't describe what the cost function is, right? Because cost function is an infinite dimensional thing, because the cost, you know, I want to minimize, you know, a whole sequence of functions, okay? So that's definitely somehow an infinite dimensional criterion for optimal coupling here. I have no idea how to make that precise here, okay? But intuitively, this looks like an optimal transportation problem. Okay, so then you just, okay, here is my question. Is this a unique coupling? For a long time, you say, okay, you know, this intuition works so well that this must be unique. It turned out the answer is no. Okay, here I'm going to give you a new coupling, okay? And then for the tails problem, but you still want something, then I show you how you save the problem. Okay, here is how you couple. Another, okay, optimal couple. Another optimal couple. You do the same thing here. Okay? You start from x1 here, x2. So how are you gonna couple? Okay. The first one you're not going to do the same. Anything, right? So how are you going to couple the second one? Okay. This is very tricky. Okay. I should say that this is given by Pat Fitzsimmons, because our early example was this was slightly complicated. That okay. I could say that this is joint work with Roshun. Okay. Okay. Now how are you going to couple? Okay. Problems have beaten Brownian motion problem to death. You know, from the past like that, and you know, people are very good at doing something like that. So here is how you couple. Okay. Now if you're all right, okay. The problem is that it's very hard for me to come up with something like that, is because, you know, I learned probability with Kai-Lai Chung. Some of you probably know Kai-Lai Chung's book, but it's like all Markov, right? So this is not Markov. Okay. So here is that. Let's look at the last time. Okay. Start from here. You draw a line here. You do this, right? Okay. What are you saying? That let's reverse the path from 0 to time L. Okay. Reverse time. So you do something like that. Okay. Reverse time. So the bump has to come from here, right? And then you do here. Then you bump, you know, so this is this, and you come a small, something like that. You reverse time, okay? Then you do the usual couple. Then you do the reflection couple. Okay, so this part, you do time reversal, okay? Time reversal. And this time you do reflection. Let's see, you reverse.
You could only win.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to to mirror. I'm sorry. This is the wrong picture here, right? No. Okay. Yeah. Only reverse time. I'm sorry. Yeah. Exactly the wrong picture. Okay. So, I mean, we know there's no way to meet soon.
Well, like this, yeah.
Yeah. Here, right. So you try to find one that meet at least same, right? So this may not be the right picture now here. Oh, okay. So you reverse time here, and then you let them mirror. Oh, okay. Now, it's not easy to see. This is a Brownian motion. Okay. This is something related to David Whelan's decomposition theorem. Okay. David Whelan's past decomposition. But. Yes. But you're really talking about to meet on average here. I mean, you know, that you could for one particular path, maybe. But you're talking about on average here. Okay. Plus that. Okay. Here's that. Okay. If you do flip and reverse, it's not going to be Brownian motion. This is, you know, I mean, past decomposition theorem here, okay? This is very hard to deal with because this is the last time, not the first time. First time is all Markov. You'll not be able to do something. Oh, okay, but no matter what, here, okay, is that I have an example showing you that mirror coupling is not the unique maximal coupling. It's not unique. Okay, now, how are you going to save the problem? You do a smaller class, okay? Well, a smaller class here, okay, is what? Is that you insist it's a Markov coupling. That's not required for application of this to do the eigenvalues, okay? But here, one way to save the problem is to say, let's insist that you have a Markov coupling, right? So that means that, okay, look at the smaller class, okay, of Markov coupling. Markov coupling simply means the joint process has to be a Markov process. Okay, this is not going to be a Markov process because you have to look at the last time, then you flip time. Okay, so this is not. So now the question is, can you actually prove that within the smaller class, okay, this mirror coupling is the only coupling that is there? Okay, and this is the main theorem. Okay, the main theorem is that you actually, for the smaller class, the theorem is that one is the unique one. Okay, and the rest of the talk, I have to show you how to reduce this to a mass transportation problem. Okay, then I start to look at papers, mass transportation problem, bingo, I find one. It works precisely for that case. Okay, but that's a very baby version of mass transportation problem. The theorem itself is much more complicated. Right. So here, how are you going to reduce this to a mass transportation problem? Okay. So here is the main theorem. Okay, is that mirror coupling. Okay. Mirror is the unique, okay, optimal Markov coupling. But the whole thing here is that I have to deal with a cost function which I've never seen before. Okay? It's not like distance squared. Okay, it's not like distance squared or some power. Oh, okay, so how are we going to reduce this to a yes? The joint process has to be a Markov process. It is not this case. Okay, basically, it is saying what? It's saying that if you push at a time t, okay, greater than time t, you have a new starting point. What's after has to be a new coupling of Brownian motion, where this is not. If you look at the whole thing, that is a Brownian motion, but if you cut a time, that's not going to be Brownian motion. Okay? After that, this is not Brownian motion. That's the problem. Okay? Okay. So here is the intuitive idea. Okay? As soon as I sort of want to conjecture this is true, through the Markov, I can sort of start to see this must be a mass transportation problem. Why is that? Oh, okay, there must be some optimal thing going on there. Is it because once you assume it's Markov, right, every step it has to be the best coupling. The problem with Markov is that once you miss the train, you're never going to catch it. Okay? So that means there's something going to squeeze in between. It shows that you have to have an optimal coupling somewhere. Okay, that optimal coupling turned out to be transporting two Gaussian measures of same variance from one point to the other. Okay, so let's see how you're going to reduce this to an optimal coupling problem. Okay, so what is the cost function? Okay. So here is the one thing. The first calculation you need to do, right, is to find out what is this thing here, right? Tau, okay? The tau there, okay? So the coupling time distribution, first thing is, okay? Coupling time distribution, and that's been calculated in every book for Brownian motion. Okay, so if tau, okay, is in Fremont of t, right? Brownian motion equals the z, right? Okay, for maybe z over 2, okay, and with bt starting from 0, okay, you actually know what the probability is, tau greater than t. Okay, it turned out to be the a very interesting integral here, 2 pi t, okay, integral from 0 to z, okay, and e to the negative r squared over 2 t dr. Okay. This you can find in everything, okay? Now, of course, this is the same as 1 over 2 integral of p d Gaussian kernel, okay, 0, now z has been used, so I use y, and p t, okay, x, z, y, this is the same thing, okay, this is the distribution function for the best coupling time, okay, I'm going to call this c t, t s sub index, and this is z. So as a function of t, that's a distribution function, but I'm going to use this as a function of z, as a cost function. Oh, okay. So why this is a cost function? And this is how you do the idea is that once you miss it, you're never going to catch it. Okay. So here's how you're going to. The crucial application of Markov. Okay. Suppose I look at a time t. Okay. Suppose I fix the time t. I look at the coupling time. Okay. So let's look at the coupling time. Okay. So look at be cupping time. Tau, okay, of some coupling here, some for some Markov cup, okay? For some Markov cup. What is the condition here, okay? The condition here is that the probability, okay, of tau greater than t plus s, right, is going to be greater or equal to, okay, the probability of x1 t plus s minus, not equal to, okay, s2 t plus s. Because that's the, you know, this is, if at t times s is not equal, you're not going to couple, right? Okay, well, I'm going to look at the condition probability, xt plus s, okay, not equal to x2 t plus s, okay? And I'm going to condition on the f of s. What do you know, right? You know that this, after time s, you have a new coupling of a Brownian motion. You get a time s here, okay? You have a new coupling Brownian motion starting from x1s and x2s, all right? So you have a new coupling of a Brownian motion. You ask yourself, what's the probability they're not equal? What's the probability they are not equal, right, after time s? Well, that's the same as what we have calculated before. You know, this is going to be greater or equal to, right, c. This is the same probability we have calculated here, okay, of c at time t, right, of x1s, okay, minus x2s. Because that is the probability of that is this minus that, okay? That's the lower bound of they're not equal, okay? Well, then you have next step, okay? So you get tt, okay, tau greater than t plus s, okay? It's going to be greater or equal to expected value, right? Expected value, okay, of this Ct, okay, of x1s minus x2. Oh, sorry. Okay. Or you can just say, make that a two-point function, okay? Two-point function is just, you can make a two-point function, z1, z2 is just really dt of z1 minus z2. Okay, just make it look more like a coupling. Okay, this is really, I get to the last step now. Okay, now, what is this? Okay, you have to make a calculation here, okay, because it's Brownian motion. Again, it's one more coupling problem, okay, that's going to be greater than, if you calculate, okay, this step requires a calculation. Okay, calculation here. In fact, this is a t plus s of the starting point, x1 minus x2. Okay. Last line, this part. If this is optimal coupling, this has to be equal to that, right? Because this is less than equal to that, and this has to be equal to that. Where? Yeah, I'm going to leave that. That's the greatest secret in the end. It really hasn't got to the mass translation yet, right? Okay. So here's this. Okay, now, but this guy, since you're talking about maximal, the best coupling, for the best coupling, this has to be equal to that, right? So for the best coupling, so this is equal to C T plus S. This is the definition of a best coupling, right? X2. Okay, so everywhere it has to be equality. Okay? So here is the mass transportation problem comes up. Everywhere it has to be the quality. Therefore, this has to be equality. So therefore that, okay, equality holds. Equality holds for this, okay. Expect the value of phi, okay, t of x1s and x2s, right? Okay, it's great, equal to phi t plus s. How are we going to write this out? Okay, you can write this out, the integral, okay, of phi t, okay, this is really x minus y, right? Or you just write x1 minus x2, okay, mu of dx1, dx2, okay, and it's a coupling of Brownian motion, mu of the first component. You know, the mu of the, how did you write? I don't know. The first component. Okay, yeah. Pi 1. Yeah, I don't know what your notation is. Like this? Down? Okay. Okay, so mu, that has to be, right? Gaussian? No. To be Gaussian, okay. This also has to be Gaussian, right? Mu, both have to be equal to Gaussian, okay, of variance I and center I variance T. Oh, variance S. This is yeah okay. So here, yeah, this has to be n of x1 s. And n of x2s, right? Because you need this to be this is the Brownian motion. Each one is Brownian motion, right? So this has to be equal to phi t plus s. Okay, x1. Okay, you can show this is always greater or equal to this is. What we have here, right? So here is a mass transportation problem. Okay? So here is a mass transportation problem. Mass transportation. Okay? How are you going to transport? Okay? This is x1, this is x2. I have a Gaussian measure here. Then I have a Gaussian measure. Okay. No, you have to. So here would be x1, x2, right? Divided by 2. Right? How are you going to couple it? With the cost function, right? Cost function is this. This vt. X1 minus X2. Okay, now, of course it depends on the property of this function, right? This function turned out to be strictly increasing concave. Okay, so this cost function is strictly increasing concave. Okay? And concave. Okay, I want to know, is the transportation map unique, okay? Then I find a paper of Gamble and McCann says that no matter what the cost function is, as long as it's concave, lucky, it's the same map. Somehow, I was afraid that the math depends on t, because then it will make my theorem too complicated. That means that each time you have to do something different. Okay, and the unique map. Okay, the answer to this is the baby transportation problem, right? Is that if you have strictly increasing concave cost function, okay, the map is unique. Okay, unique. Okay, and it's mirror coupling. In what sense? You do not move the mass that's common, okay? For the mass here, you simply move to the corresponding point here. Okay? So unique map and, okay, is the mirror map. This is precisely the sort of one-dimensional thing of that. It's the mirror map. Okay? So there are only two choices. You either don't move or you mirror. That's right. Yes. Okay. I studied the paper very carefully. I just want to make sure that I won't miss anything. In the end, I decided that for the Gaussian, everything's kosher. Everything's kosher. Okay. What is really important for me, okay, is that this map is independent of cost function. Is that right? As long as it's a function of the difference, okay. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Great. Okay. So that's the thing. I really feel happy that as a justification doing this. Okay. I don't want every point T. I have a different map. Okay. So, but for me, okay, I don't really need the detail of that map. I only need one thing, okay? This map, either map point to itself or you map to the mirror point. That's all I need, okay? So how are we going to finish this, okay? So I have here, okay, I know that if you have, see, if the equality to be true, right, from here, equality has to be true. If equality to be true, there's no other choice for this and that. Okay? There's no other choice for this, the relation between this. Okay? There are only two choices. It tells you that either x2 at s is equal to x1 at s, or x2 at s has to be the mirror of x1. Okay? That has to be true for every time, for every time, okay? So this is the intuitive idea that if you miss the train, even for one time, you won't be able to catch it. Because at every step, it is, no matter where you cut, okay? It has to be equality. And this is a very nice consequence of Markov. Okay, so why now I can put this one-dimensional thing to the path space, right? So now I need to show that this implies mirror coupling for Brownian motion, not just for this, right? Okay, so here it's really very simple. Okay. When I teach, I usually have the room with the board exactly like that. The student knows that if I'm going to write on this, that's the end, because I won't be able to move it, right? Okay, here. Okay, now, say you get x1 here, x2 here, right? Okay, now, at every time, assume you have a best coupling somewhere, right? At every time, you have only two choices, okay? It's either same on mirror, right? Well, clearly, when you start, it cannot be the same because they're starting from different points. Well, starting from different point, they have to be the mirror, right? So that means that they're going to mirror, okay? Until they meet first time at the center line, okay? And then the only choice that they have to be the same, okay? So they have to be the same. So that means that, okay? So the uniqueness of this mass transportation, okay, problem, solution, okay, implies, just by the simple app, it has to be mirror. Okay, so the optimal coupling of Brownian motion has to be the mirror coupling. Okay, just by the simple map. Okay, so I solved the problem for Rn. Okay, the same argument will work on sphere, on you know harmonic space of Kahn's curvature, blah blah. Okay, so here is my problem for you. Okay, study mass transition problem on a compact manifold, let's say. Okay, with the cost function, which is that one here. Okay, so this is something I don't know. If I know something about this, okay, I'll be able to say something about coupling of Brownian motion on arbitrary smooth manifold. Okay, so here's okay. This is a let M be just say compact Riemannian let's define the cost function C of x1 x2 1 over 2 integral for me yes solve my coupling problem is that, well, all if the solution to this is no, then I have to look for an even smaller class. I have to, Okay, there is a mirror coupling for Brownian motion on arbitrary compact manifold. The problem is that, is this a good one or not? Okay, so that's the problem. Okay, so this is the cost function. 1z, minus t, 2. Z, dv. Okay, what you want transport? Okay, is to okay. Is there a unique transport map? Oh, on the manifold now. Sorry. Okay, is a unique transport map? Okay, for the masses P, TX1 dot 2 TX2 dot. That's my question. Depend on T is fine. That means that I have to, every step I have to do slightly different thing. It is actually going to be dependent on T. The fact that it's not dependent on T here purely because Rn is the symmetry. Okay? So here would be, I just for each fixed T, okay, for map for this for each fixed T. Fixed T. Okay. I think there's a hope somewhere to do this multidimensional thing. It's because I don't have to consider a fixed time T. I can cut T very small if I can approximately show you there is only one map, then I'll be able to take the limit. That's why I'm very interested in this talk of multi-marginal transportation. But the problem is that this cost, also when T is very small, this cost is going to be very much look like this cost in here. Okay, if this is true for this, maybe it's just a true you do the like approximate tangent space where after you've done it, it's all unique at every step. That's my hopeful thinking. Thank you very much.